We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
He said, I've spent everything I had on those washing machines buying parts to get them going. I got one nickel in my pocket. That's all I've got. And so you can find me if you want to, but I can't pay it. I'll have to serve the time out in jail or work it out. They called it, the county farm. They called it the pea patch in those days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just have to work out my fine, you see. But he said, Judge, I'm not asking for justice, because if I get justice, I'm going to wind up in jail. I'm asking for mercy.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Knowing God as Your Father, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Brother Hagin for today's message.
And so you see then, friends, the Father, God, that I'm coming to, stands behind this holy written word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, He stands behind that word. He's the one that said it, praise God, and He'll keep it. Jeremiah in the King James translation, the first chapter, the 12th verse, said that God said, I will hasten my word to perform it. I look in the margin of this King James translation that I'm preaching out of, and there's a little number there by the word hasten. And I look over in the margin, and it said H-E-B, that means Hebrew, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Hebrew, watch over. In other words, the Hebrew, instead of saying, I will hasten my word to perform it, that means do it, says, I watch over my word. Well, either one can be correct, praise God. I watch over my word. I watch over my word to perform it. Hallelujah. Thank God He stands back of the word. I don't have to make it good. He's the one that watches over to perform it, not me. I think that's one place where so many people miss it. They think they've got to make it good. Well, you don't have to make anything good. I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen. All you got to do is believe it. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. Well, He didn't say to understand it. He said, believe it. Hallelujah. I don't understand it either. But I just believe it. Praise God, and it works. Now, what does your individual prayer life mean to you? Is it just simply that in a time of great extremity or crisis, or a need, a time of great need, that you cry out to the Lord for help? Or is He an ever-present help? Hallelujah. See, there's a difference. Thank God in His great mercy He's helped us. But it's just good to know and to grow to the place that you know He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Is life an unconscious, or is He in life, your individual life, is He an unconscious present at your side or with you or in you always? Or is prayer just a part of your daily life? Do you talk to Him as simply as you talk to your loved ones? I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, friends, on the ground of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means when we say the finished work, that means the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension on high of Jesus. Having entered, first of all, before He ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, He went up there and entered into the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood, the writer of Hebrews tells us, to obtain an eternal redemption for us. And that's the reason these verses here in Hebrews says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, thank God, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come. Let us therefore come arrogantly. No. There's a difference between being bold and arrogant. Are you listening to me? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy. That we may obtain mercy. You know, you don't need mercy unless you missed it. I tell the story sometime of the fellow that went with me when I first went up to Tom Bean to preach, where I met my lovely wife. I held a revival there, and I didn't have a car. This man had one, so I got him to go along, and because he played the guitar and sang, and was sort of what we call a lay preacher. He and his wife owned and ran to what we called in those days, 1938, a helpy selfie laundry. So as we were driving up there, we'd drive up there and preach, then drive back to my hometown. You see, in other words, we went 30 miles there and 30 miles back every night. So, you know, in those days, you know, that's a pretty good trip, not like it is today. So he was telling me one time that he had, you know, because he was just, you know, he didn't have a license ordained to preach. He just what we call a lay preacher. He'd fill in for people, you know, and more or less country churches and all. So one fellow was gone on a vacation or something, a pastor, and he was going to preach for him. And so he had worked, you know. He said every machine he had in that laundry broke down that day but one. And this was the main day that everybody came to do their laundry. And he's just working on those machines, trying to get them to go and keep them going, you know. Because just he and his wife, nobody else there to help. And so he didn't have time really to study and prepare himself. So he said he started to this church, and he had to go through a little old town before he got there. And he said he was going along trying to get something, you know, thinking about different scriptures, you know, because he hadn't prepared himself. And he didn't notice, and he ran a red light. This little old town just had one red light in it. Just one signal light, you know. And he had run that, and about that time he saw another red light flashing behind him, you know. So he put, and he looked down the speedometer real quickly and noticed that he was going 35 miles an hour. And so he pulled over the curb and stopped. The policeman got out and said to him, do you know you run that red light back out there? He said, no, I never even saw a red light. Not only that, she's going 35 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. And he said, I was going 35 miles an hour, all right, because when I saw that light behind me, I looked at my speedometer, and I was going 35 miles an hour. Well, he said, this is 25 miles an hour zone, speed zone here. Well, he said, I'm guilty, officer. Just write me out a ticket. I'm guilty. I plead guilty. And he said, I'll just take your word for it. I never even saw the light. He said, I'm guilty. I and he told him, you know, about all of his problems of the day, and he's going out there to preach, and so on. Officer wrote him out a ticket. Well, he had to appear before the judge, municipal judge, on a certain day. So he went, and they called his case eventually. So he said, judge, could I just plead my own case? Well, he said, yes, sir, go right ahead. He said, well, now, first of all, I want to tell you this much. I'm guilty. He said, my wife and I run this helpy selfie laundry. I was busy, told him. He said, and I just wasn't thinking. I know it's wrong. I just simply wasn't thinking. I didn't even see the light. The officer there, and the officer was there, said, he said I did it, so he must be right. I do know I was going 35, because when I saw that red light behind me, I did look down at my speedometer, and I was going 35, and he said it's a 25-mile zone. Now, I'm guilty. But now, I want to say this to you. Now, these were Depression days. Folks didn't have a lot, you know. He said, I've spent everything I had on those washing machines, buying parts to get them going. I got one nickel in my pocket. That's all I've got. And so you can find me if you want to, But I can't pay it. I'll have to serve the time out in jail or work it out. They called it, you know, the county farm. They called it the pea patch in those days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just have to work out my fine, you see. But he said, Judge, I'm not asking for justice, because if I get justice, I'm going to wind up in jail. I'm asking for mercy. He said to the judge, said, you don't mind I read a little bit from the New Testament, do you? And he pulled out his testament in his pocket. And he said, well, no, go ahead. He was a little bit older, and so he couldn't read that. So he just said, well, I can't read it, and I forgot my glasses. He said, let me just tell you about it. He said, there was a woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. And he said, they brought her to Jesus and said, the law says to stone her, kill her. What do you say about it? Said, Jesus said, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. Stooped down and wrote something in the sand. He looked up, everybody's gone but the woman. And he said to her, woman, who art thine accuser? She said, sir, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 2-CD set entitled Hold On to the Word. We're also offering Lynette Hagin's Slimline book, It's Your Time to Shine. Last but not least is Kenneth W. Hagin's 2-CD set entitled Our Rights in Christ. All these items at the special price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Well, coming up is a special day, a special Sunday, May the 5th, that is International Rhema Day.
Yes.
What is that about, honey?
Well, actually, what it is to pray for Rhema. Well, that includes the school, the staff, the students, everyone.
Yes.
And then as an individual, as a church or a business,
yes,
you can support financially that day. A special offering
for Rhema Bible Training College.
For Rhema Bible Training College.
Yes.
And so another thing you can do is share Rhema Bible Training College with other people.
Yes.
International Rhema Day came about because Dad was saying that a lot of places, a lot of schools have a day, a Sunday, in which all of the churches that are involved and all the people that are involved with them, they have a special day. They give an offering, especially for the school.
Yes.
And so we started that years and years ago. He started that. We've continued it. And it's been a tremendous blessing in us helping the camp, keep the campus up, help us to keep the tuition low so that we can train more people to go all over the world.
Yes.
And so that's what International Rhema Day is. And we welcome you to go to rhema.org/IRD and become a part of supporting Rhema. We have 290 campuses.
Yes.
All over the world.
That's right.
So 54 nations.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, Knowing God as Your Father. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.